just for women. Listen to Mrs. Waite speak from her heart to your need. Pause a moment and care. Just for Women is an unusual broadcast for women in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Yvonne Waite deals biblically with the many issues facing women today. The Bible tells the older women to speak the things which become sound doctrine, and teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the Word of God be not blasphemed. Listen now to Mrs. Waite speaking just for women.
Hello, girls. Here we are again. It's so good to be with you. I'm glad you've taken a few minutes out to listen to this program. I want to read you an article by a man by the name of Pastor Donald Prout, Prout. He's from Australia, and I really don't know him. There's a picture of him here. I'm reading from the Biblical Evangelist from, it's the November-December 2006 issue. And when I first read this article, I wanted to talk to you about it. I wanted to read it. It's called Mistakes in the Christmas Story. Mistakes in the Christmas Story? Oh, let me make my position clear from the onset. I do not mean that the scripture is an error in any way. But interesting enough, it does tell of certain folk who made serious mistakes in connection with that first Christmas morning. Now, here's the temporary mistake. Take Joseph, for instance. When he realized that his betrothed Mary was with child, his first reaction was one of incredible horror. Now we're supposed to go over to page 4, and here it is. Mary, devout, sweet, innocent, pure, yet here she was pregnant. To Joseph's credit, he was planning to break the engagement quietly and hush up the whole sorry business. You can read that in Matthew 1:19. That was when God stepped in, and Joseph learned that Mary had not been unfaithful to him, nor had she sinned in this matter. He had been mistaken in his initial judgment of her. Fear not to take unto thee Mary as thy wife, the angel had told him, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. The wise men were mistaken too. They went to Jerusalem. After all, if a king of the Jews had been born, surely the capital city in Judea would be the place to find him. In the palace, maybe? Or a mansion, at least? But they were mistaken. It would be in the little town of Bethlehem, insignificant among the hundreds of other Judean villages, that they would kneel and adore the newborn king. Now, a tragic mistake. Then there were those chief priests and scribes. Yes, despite their constant study of the scriptures, they made the most tragic mistake of their lives. They even knew that the prophet Micah had predicted that the Messiah would come from Bethlehem. You can read that in Matthew 2:5-6. But they were not interested enough to investigate so important a matter. To know God's word and fail to follow its leading is folly indeed. Such was the case with those religious leaders. There was Herod. He made the mistake of trying to thwart God's plan. Massacre the infants. Lie to the wise men. But to no avail. God had the plan for his son's life and death all worked out. No mean king could alter that. Yes, there are mistakes in the Christmas story, some of them rectified before it was too late, as in the case of Joseph and the wise men. Others made such foolish mistakes and persisted in them that it led to their eventual doom. It is not so today, isn't it? Yes, it is so. Are not the mistakes of Christmas still with us? Now there are theological mistakes. I shudder with horror at the Reverend Leslie Weatherhead's book. I wonder what he said. I have to turn the page. It's his book called The Christian Agnostic. For therein he made the awful suggestion that the father of the Lord Jesus was none other than Elizabeth's husband, Zacharias. And I'll tell you, girls, I'd never heard that one. It seems the solution, wrote this former president of the Methodist Conference in the United Kingdom, which means meet such evidence as we possess. Then it was Nels Ferre, professor of theology at Vanderbilt University School of Religion several years ago. He presented his theory that Jesus was fathered by a soldier stationed near Nazareth. Such is the experience of many girls near military camps, he wrote. Such a conjecture has been made his life and can deny that such a conjecture could be true. He said such a conjecture was made of Jesus' life. Well, a Presbyterian minister in New Zealand in 1976 wrote a book, Who Was Jesus?, that propounded the same heresy. And people today have all sorts of heresies about who Jesus' father was. John A.T. Robinson, while Bishop of Woolwich, wrote a book, But That I Can't Believe, in which he suggested some folk would be better not to believe what the Bible says concerning the virgin birth. And this is a quote, If this doctrine merely succeeds in convincing you that he was not one of us, then it is much better that you shouldn't believe it. Professor William Barclay, in A Life of Christ, blatantly taught that Joseph was our Lord's earthly father. Examples can be multiplied. Liberal scholars have attacked the Christian narrative as they do every other miraculous event in Scripture. In so doing, they make a grave mistake. For this one whose supernatural birth they deny is the same one before whom they shall stand one day. Then we have traditional mistakes. Then there are those traditional mistakes made by thousands of people every Christmas season, like those shopkeepers who are more interested in the prophets of the Christmas than the prophets of Christmas, and the partygoers who are more interested in the spirits of Christmas than the Holy Spirit of the Christmas story. Like those children who are more concerned about the presence than the presence of God with us, Emmanuel. Like those workers who get excited about the holiday and forget the holy day when Christ was born. Like those people who focus their attention upon the Christmas tree and forget Calvary's tree. For to die therein was the purpose for which he came. We read that in 1 Timothy 1:15. It is a sad and serious mistake to see thousands putting Santa at the center of their celebrations instead of the Savior. Before me, as I write, says this man, of special Christmas editions of the Reader's Digest, it's before me. They contain articles about how carols were penned, articles about being kind to one's neighbor, articles about Christmas tradition, and there's a story concerning Bob Hope's Christmas tour and one about reindeers. And so it goes on and on. But an article concerning the one who came to be our Savior, nary a word. The shoppers passing by the department store paused to view the manger scene in the window. Little Julie was hoisted high on her father's shoulder to see above the crowd. And she saw something the others could not see. Oh, Daddy, Daddy, she exclaimed. They have left the baby out of the manger. And this coming Christmas, alas, there will be many who make that same mistake. On Christmas Eve, they fill the house with the guests, I'm told. O little Lord of Christmas, were you out in the cold? They ate the drink and drank, played cards and danced, till every early Christmas morning light. O Lord of Christmas, did they think of you that night? Next morning came the presents on the glittering Christmas tree. O little Lord of Christmas, was there any gift for thee? The dinner was a royal feast, and how those guests did eat. O little Lord of Christmas, O little Lord, were you left hungry in the street? The love and joy no doubt were good, the rest a pagan spree. O little Lord of Christmas, let us keep that day with thee. And I'm just a burden for you people who are spending so much time cooking, so much time cleaning. And, of course, those are good things to do, but you're doing special things. You're going to the store and getting so tired. I remember how tired I would get trying to go Christmas shopping and buying things for my children and for my family, although my husband from my early marriage told me that I couldn't buy for the whole family, his family and my family, except my just immediate children. And we used to draw names, and we had a good time, but I'd be so exhausted. I got a letter from a friend, and she said that she is so tired getting ready for Christmas. She's a woman my age, and she just is exhausted doing it all, and all, she says, doing Christmas. And girls, I'd like to encourage you that you stop doing Christmas. Just stop it. Cut down a little bit every year And then ask yourself, is this what the Lord would have me do? Is this what he asked me to do in the Word of God? You know, the very popularity of Christmas should cause the Christian to question it. Anyone and everyone can celebrate Christmas without question. Outright pagans and nominal Christians and even Buddhists and Hindus. If in reality December 25th were a date set by God to remember the birth of Jesus, there is no doubt that the world would have nothing to do with it. I remember in a place where I get my nails fixed, last year they had some Christmas things there, and those people were Buddhists. And I said, you celebrate Christmas? And he said, oh, yes. I said, but I didn't think you believed in Jesus. Oh, but we do Christmas. So Jesus had nothing to do with Christmas. And don't you think that's the way with most people? After all, God has commanded one day in seven, the Lord's Day, to worship him. Does the world observe it? Of course not. As expected, the world loves Christmas, but hates the Lord Jesus Christ. It shuns anything pertaining to true religion. Shouldn't the Christian be just a little suspicious of a celebration in which the whole sinful world can join without qualms? One day to test the scripturalness of our practices is to reflect, one way, is to reflect on what we would expect missionaries to teach new converts in a foreign culture. We assume that they would use the Bible as their guidebook. If they could start a new local church without importing American cultures encumbered with Roman Catholicism and liberal Protestantism and crash commercialism, wouldn't that be wonderful? Missionaries who have urged new converts to forsake all pagan superstitious relics have later been questioned about the apparent inconsistency of their own American Christmas customs. Nationals perceive them as idolatrous, even though the missionaries were oblivious to that possibility. When Christmas is exposed for what it really is, this angers people. It angers evangelical Protestant people, and there is reason why it does so. When the pagan celebration of Christmas is rooted up and rejected, then what has become a Protestant tradition is in effect being rejected, and that is why people become angry. It began as a Roman Catholic holy day, and then it became a Protestant holy day. And if anyone dares show it up for what it really is, they face the wrath of the Protestant religious machine. And these days, that can be very ugly. Christmas is a thoroughly pagan holiday in its origin, in its trappings, and in all its traditions. Perhaps we should contemplate the words of Charles Haddon Spurgeon when he delivered his Lord's Day sermon on December 24, 1871. And he said, "We have no superstitious regard for times and seasons. Certainly, we do not believe in the present ecclesiastical arrangement called Christmas first, because we do not believe in the Mass at all, but abhor it, whether it be said or sung in Latin or in English. And secondly, because we find no scriptural warrant whatsoever so observing any day as the birthday of the Savior. And consequently, its observance is a superstition. I must go now.
You've been listening to Just for Women with Yvonne Waite, sponsored by the Bible for Today Baptist Church in Collingswood, New Jersey. We invite you to visit our church Sundays at 10 a.m. and Thursdays at 8 p.m. If you need more information about our church, our broadcast, or our Savior, please call us toll-free 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Email bft@bibleforToday.org. The organist and pianist is Mr. Dick Carroll. Your announcer has been Dr. D.A. Waite, pastor of the Bible for Today Baptist Church. We invite all you ladies to join us next week, same time, same station, to hear Yvonne Waite and Just for Women.
I'm under God's care. Are you?